You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save, improve, and transform your marriage no matter where your marriage is. No matter whether it's on the brink of disaster, on the brink of divorce, or whether you're just trying to kickstart things and get them into a better place, we're here to help you. Today, though, is focused a bit more about those marriages that are in trouble. You know, my belief is that you're always saving your marriage. That's a day-to-day task for everybody who's married, is to constantly be working to improve that marriage so that it's always safe. But what happens when you discover that you're in trouble? Well, one of the questions I get pretty often basically boils down to this. Give it to me straight, Doc. Are we going to survive? Is the relationship going to survive? And I get that in so many different forms. You know, some people say, can it be saved? And I get lots of emails every day that say, yeah, I know you have the Save the Marriage system, but, you know, my situation is unique. And so I don't know if it applies. And they'll tell me everything. And the thing is this. The same relationship issues apply across the board. Now, that doesn't mean that every relationship is going to be saved, but all relationships share the same basic factors about how they get into trouble. Now, just to kind of reassure you that I don't live in a little bubble where nothing happens, over the past couple of weeks, we've actually had some good friends of ours who decided to go their separate ways. In fact, one decided to go the separate way and left the other in a lurch. And so it's not that we're immune to that. It can happen in any situation. And I watch it from the sidelines and I just kind of shake my head and say, wow, that's really sad to watch it happen. Because it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to fall apart. And from my perspective, from my space with this couple, I'm pretty clear that the issues could have been worked through had there been an opportunity. And that's the thing here. There wasn't an opportunity. So there is a big difference as you kind of think through your own situation between, you know, a couple where one of them's just saying, you know what, I'm just not happy. We need to work on this. That, let's put that as kind of in the best category. If it's going to be an issue, if there's going to be a marriage problem, that's in the best category. You know, the better of all of that would be to be in a happy, contented relationship. But you're not here because of that. You're here because something's going on. And so the best scenario is probably where a spouse has said, I'm just not happy. Or maybe you're saying, I'm just not happy. And things have got to change. And then at the very other end of that is someone who's filed for divorce, who's living with someone else, who has begun another relationship and another life. Those are huge differences in the spectrum of what's possible and what's likely to happen. Now, it doesn't mean that somebody at that far end where there's been a legal process with maybe they're with somebody, it can't be saved. It just means that there are complicators to it. It makes it more difficult. One is simply about reconnecting, right? If a spouse says, hey, I'm not happy, I'm not feeling connected, so you work on the connection, and maybe you have to work on changing some things so that you're interacting in different ways. The other is about reconnecting and about changing yourself, but the complicators are what make the response potentially slower or impossible. It's possible that the spouse who is with somebody else and started legal actions will not respond at all. So the question begins to be very complicated of give it to me straight. Doc, can we survive? That makes it a little more difficult for me to assess. But let me give you a couple of ways of thinking about it for yourself. One way I like to think about this is kind of using the disease analogy. And let's go with kind of a chronic disease. Let's say diabetes. Now, diabetes has lots of reasons why it happens, and we're going to set those aside for a minute and say that diabetes generally is a chronic condition and can have an acute outcome. It doesn't have to. You know, it's possible that the diabetes kind of reverses itself with the right action sometimes. Sometimes it can be managed. Sometimes people can live very satisfactory lives, very above average lives, even with such an illness. So there are places where this disease analogy is going to fall short, but let's just kind of use that for a minute. It's possible for you to be kind of pre-diabetic, right? Where you're just struggling with those those chemical things in your body. And that would be kind of like the person saying, I'm just not happy. And at that point, a diet change, some exercise, some other things can possibly alleviate that issue, and you move back to a non-diabetic phase. It's also possible that those symptoms don't manifest themselves until it's too late, that the diabetes is full blown. And not only that, but there are other complications. There are other impacts in the body. It might be vision or nerves or other, the possibilities are just kind of immense with diabetes, but it could be the circulation system, just lots of different places where it might have already been affected by the time somebody figures it out. Now, there are some things that are within your control, and then there are some things that are not within your control. For instance, you have control over your actions, what you choose to do, how you choose to relate to your spouse. You also have a choice about your responses. And when I say responses, that's to how your spouse might interact with you. So it's possible that you kind of go on to manic phase, right, when you hear something's wrong, or you may go into explosive phase when somebody's talking to you, and yet you have control over that. These are the things you have potential control over. Another is your efforts. Are you going to work on building the connection? Are you going to work on fixing the relationship, on changing yourself, on creating a new course for your relationship? All of those are within your capacity. You also have a choice about your attitude. Some people have a spouse say, you know what, I'm not happy, and they just move into their own little cave and disappear. They play it small. They hide. They shirk away. They become depressed. They tend to disappear from the spouse, only creating more problems. But somebody else can say, you know what, I'm going to take this on as a challenge. I'm going to take this on as a challenge to me to figure out what I'm contributing to this, how I can move in a different way in this relationship. That's a very different attitude. So you have the capacity of controlling your actions, your responses, your efforts, and your attitude. You don't have control over your spouse's actions, your spouse's efforts, your spouse's attitude, and your spouse's reaction to what you're doing. You have no control over that, and that's a very important factor to remember, that as this goes forward, you can only control what you have control over. Sometimes we want to convince a spouse or get a spouse to do something, and yet that's not within your capacity. So you want to make sure that as you move forward in your decision making, in your assessment, and in your actions to save your marriage, that you are working within what you do have control over, your action, your responses, your efforts, and your attitude. So let's think about it kind of like a disease. You can make a choice about your approach. You can make a choice about how you're going to work on it. For instance, if you have diabetes or pre-diabetic or diabetes, and you decide you're going to exercise and change your diet, now that is all within your control. But you don't have control over what might have already happened in your body or in processes that are already in play in your body. And so you only have control over the choices you make at that point. So why is that important? Well, because as you're thinking about your relationship, it's easy to ask the question and make it kind of a blunt question, can this relationship be saved? And the fact is, I don't know how you're going to act, and I certainly don't know how your spouse is going to act. You have choices over how you act and what you decide to do. So when people say, ask, if I try, can I save it? It's like treating a serious illness. If you try, the likelihood of success, of beating the illness, of making it to health, restoring your well-being, goes up. If you do nothing, you know the consequences. Now, I don't know about you, but I've watched people with chronic illness, including diabetes, who have decided that they're not going to do anything about their disease. They continue to eat the way they were before. They don't continue to have inactivity in their life, and they continue to watch the consequences build up. At some point, it may scare them enough, but by then, often they've dug the hole so deep, it's very difficult to get out of. And it's the same with a relationship. If you're reacting early on in a crisis and you're making permanent changes, then it's much easier to guarantee a good outcome. If you've let it drag on, if you have denied and ignored all of the issues that have been going on, if the time of disconnection has grown, then it becomes a bit more difficult to know where it's going to go. So let's talk about a few complicators so you can just kind of assess where you are in the complication factor. One complicator is the length of time involved in your crisis. Sometimes a crisis kind of erupts overnight, and it's got some pieces in the background, but it kind of comes to a boil overnight. It may be because of a career change. It may be because of parenting. You know, you suddenly have kids and you've got to devote attention to them. Sometimes something in life begins to show the weaknesses of the relationship. For instance, instead of putting the relationship first, the kids get put first. Or instead of putting the relationship and the connection as being a top priority, a job or a hobby or an activity gets the top priority and the relationship begins to falter. A lot of times, all it's doing is showing what was already there. It was just not uncovered. It was still covered up. For instance, a couple before they have kids has plenty of time to have plenty of activities. They can go out whenever they want to. They can, you know, take a weekend away, and it happens almost automatically. And then when you have kids, and then when you have financial responsibilities and bills, suddenly the lack of being a we, the lack of strong connection between the two of you, of being a team, begins to show. And as it begins to show, what you become aware of is that this crisis may have been going on longer than you knew. Not actively, but under the surface. Slowly, it was eating away. In our backyard, we have had in the past few years an issue with moles kind of burrowing through our ground. And no matter what we've done, we can't get rid of them. Well, by the time we knew that they were there, they had already made quite a few trails. And one of those trails goes down the hill and pops out at a sidewalk just below our house. What I've noticed is because I didn't know it was happening, when it rains, it begins to shoot mud and rocks out of the hole there. It's as if it's eating away. Well, it's not even as if. It is eating away the hole behind our house, the whole hill behind our house, because it's spewing it out because of the places underneath that have been eaten away. Well, that's the same kind of thing that can happen in a relationship. You don't know what's happening until there's stress put upon it, and suddenly you see the weaknesses that's in the structure that you didn't even identify. So one complicator is the length of time. Another complicator is the other person. Is there somebody else? Is there somebody who's caught your spouse's attention or even your attention? Is there somebody who's either in an emotional or physical affair? And that's kind of the question is, how deeply involved are they? Is it just an interest? For instance, is the spouse just interested in somebody? You know, I was interviewing Gary Chapman, which was the podcast for last week. And Gary has this great way of saying it is, you know, when somebody gives you the tingles. And so if your spouse is getting the tingles with somebody else, that complicates it. It makes it more difficult because their attention and their energy is going to be elsewhere. It doesn't mean it's a lost cause. It just means there's a complicator to it. And if there's a difference between an interest and an emotional affair and a physical affair, and each point creates more complicators as that goes forward. Another complicator is your spouse, or are you in the house or out of the house? If you're already separated, physically separated, it makes it a bit more difficult. If you're both in the same house, even if you're in separate bedrooms, that's always my preference. And if you're wondering about what to do about a separation, once you're on the blog at SaveTheMarriageBlog.com, you can just type in separation, and there's a whole article about how to structure a separation. But I will tell you that my preference is at least to have the separation in-house because of the complicator effect of having somebody out of the house. Okay, so another complicator is, are both of you in the same house or are you in separate households? Another complicator is disposition. Are you or your spouse an avoider or a denier? An avoider is somebody who doesn't want to be in conflict. They avoid conflict. A denier is one that pretends that nothing's wrong, nothing's going on. And sometimes it's not just pretending, they just don't see it. Maybe they grew up in a household that was dysfunctional and didn't have good ways of showing relationships between a husband and a wife. And so, or spouses, let's put it just as between spouses. And so sometimes somebody will even just be in denial that there's something wrong with the relationship. It's completely normal to live in the life that you're living. So in disposition, are one or the other of you an avoider or a denier? And let's add in on that disposition also the mental state. Because if somebody is depressed or if somebody is feeling anxious, one of the ways that people deal with that is to try to get away from that feeling. It's not necessarily true that the marriage is causing that. In fact, I've seen it many, many times that somebody says, you know, I'm so depressed. It must be this relationship, only to leave and realize that the depression is within themselves, because wherever we go, we take ourselves. And so if we have a depressed disposition or an anxious disposition, we're going to take that with us and realize that, you know, there's something else going on. We have to look at how we're going to blame that. So disposition is another complicator in this process. Another complicator is level of conflict. Now, it doesn't mean that if there's no conflict, there's no problem, because sometimes couples get to the place where they're so disconnected that there's no conflict. I always look for some level of conflict between a couple, and I get worried when somebody says, well, we never fight. I don't know what the problem is. We've never fought in 20 years. That worries me. Just as much as when they tell me about how they're always having these knockdown, drag-out fights of yelling at each other and screaming and someone marching off and, you know, slamming doors and all that kind of stuff. So what I'm looking for is there minimal conflict or is there heavy conflict, and what's the place in between? Think of it as a spectrum. The more the conflict there is, the more dangerous it becomes to save that relationship, until there is no conflict, and then it becomes very difficult to salvage, because when there is absolutely no conflict, there's usually absolutely no energy. That doesn't mean it can't be saved. It just makes it more complicated. Okay, and another complicator is the beliefs around divorce. What somebody believes about divorce, and that can come with family. You know, if they grew up in a family where there is divorce, they may have either seen that as a way out or seen it as an option never to choose. They might have seen it with friends. When friends begin to divorce, it begins to be kind of like a virus that spreads, that people say, oh, that's the solution. You know, it worked out for them and they are making it work, so I could do that too. Also, another factor is religious beliefs around that. There are some safety mechanisms to religious beliefs that are about preserving relationships, about preserving marriage. So the beliefs around divorce end up being another complicator. So now you have a choice. You're standing at a crossroads, potentially, and the question is, do you just let it end, or are you willing to let it go down in all of your efforts? In other words, are you just going to let it go the way it's going, or are you going to step up and say, it may go down, but I'm not going to worry. I'm not even going to ask the question, can it be saved? Because that's impossible to know on the front side. That's only something that we can see on the back side. So if you do nothing, you can avoid the pain, at least some of the pain. You can avoid the struggle, and you also avoid growing. And in the process, you lose great potential for getting beyond and having the relationship you've always wanted. See, that's the thing, that in every struggle, there is the kernel of potential that lies there. There's the seed waiting to be germinated of potential change, because now when you have a crisis, suddenly it's an honest chance to turn it around, an honest way to get to an honest relationship. Now that you know there's a crisis, now that everybody's being real, now that it's on the table, something can change. If you act, there's potential for great growth with you no matter what happens to the relationship. You can look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I did everything I could. And really, you know, people say, oh, so you think you can save every relationship? And my answer is, no, I can't. But I do believe that I can save lots of relationships and allow the person to look themselves in the mirror and say, I did everything I could to change this. This is not on me, the decision in the relationship. Now, whether there is, it's on somebody about what happened to the relationship is not the same as whether it's on them that the choice to end the relationship was from the other person. And here's the big one. You may just save it. You may just discover that you can save your relationship when you put forth the effort, and the right kind of effort. So since you're still listening to this, I'm going to assume that you're leaning on the side of doing something, that you might already be working on your saving your relationship, that you may have already even begun the process and be well into it, and you're just looking for some way of understanding what's going on. So Let me give you some ways of moving forward. One is to create a plan. Of all the things that I see happen or not happen that should happen, is that people decide to save their relationship and they never sit down and create a plan. These same people will spend lots of time planning their career, planning for the training for their, you know, for a marathon or for whatever athletic endeavor they might have, planning for a trip, a vacation, some event, and then they just wing it when it comes to saving their marriage. Saving a marriage requires a plan. So you create a plan that's about changing the relationship, that's connecting with your spouse, about changing yourself, and about creating a new path. In fact, I just listed the three simple steps to saving your marriage. That's the best-selling book that I created, was the three simple steps to saving your marriage, and here they are. Number one, connect with your spouse. Number two, change yourself. Number three, create a new path. Now, any plan that you want to create is going to be based around those three steps. They have to be the steps you follow. Connect with your spouse, change yourself, and create a new path. Okay, the other thing is expect it to be tough and up and down. You know, sometimes people are surprised when they start the effort and there is no response immediately. Sometimes it takes a while to get some traction. Sometimes people tell me that it feels like they've started on a good way, and then suddenly it's like it reverses itself. That's part of the process. Your spouse is probably pretty ambivalent right now, and so at some points, your spouse may reciprocate the connection, and other times reject your connection. Sometimes your spouse will be proud of the changes they see in you, and other times they're going to see that your changes are trying to manipulate them. Sometimes your spouse is going to see the new path for the relationship, and other times they're going to resist that. Just expect and accept the fact that it's going to be up and down and it's going to be tough. It's not going to be instantaneous. It's not going to happen overnight. And they're going to be two steps forward, three steps back, three steps forward, two steps back. And as you continue and you stay consistent, then the things begin to add up. Another piece is don't overwhelm your spouse. Don't try to do everything. You know, it's kind of like getting into shape. If your doctor were to say, hey, you've got diabetes and you need to get some exercise, you don't go run a marathon. You might start by looking at your diet and taking some walks. You might add in a little resistance work. You might add in a little over time and kind of build up. It's the same with saving a relationship. If you have been in a disconnected relationship and you have not been functioning at your highest point and you haven't known where your relationship is headed, to reverse all of that and go full charge the other way is going to spook your spouse, who's going to believe that all you're doing is faking it. Change takes time. And let me just add in here, don't talk about the change you're going to do. Do it. Don't tell your spouse about how you've changed. Let your spouse experience that change. Telling sets up an expectation. Trying to prove it sets up an expectation. Being it is transformational because it will be coming from within you. The biggest thing you have to do, though, is to rise above your fear of rejection, your fear of failure, your fear that you won't be able to manage this. And so I talk about the three C's to doing that, to being calm, constant, and consistent. Being calm is based in taking care of yourself and not allowing the fear to get into your thinking, to be looking at what you can do in sensible ways rather than panicking and running all over the place. So be calm, but also be constant, meaning that you are not going to do something today and then not do anything for 3 weeks. But you're going to do something today, you're going to do something tomorrow, you're going to do something maybe the next day, and you're going to find some constant way of doing it that is also consistent, which means that you keep following your plan. Your plan ought to be how you're going to be trying to show connection, how you're going to be changing yourself. If your plan does not include that, you can't be consistent. Because today you might hear me saying you need to connect with your spouse, and tomorrow you may hear somebody say you need to play hard to get. Pick your approach and stay with your approach. Be consistent with how you're approaching it. And the only way you can be consistent is if you are managing that consciously. In other words, having a plan to follow. So what's the starting point? If you haven't found a starting point yet, let me suggest that you start with the Save the Marriage system. You can find that at SaveTheMarriage.com. That's SaveTheMarriage.com, straight across, no underlines, no spaces. SaveTheMarriage.com is where you'll find information about my Save the Marriage system. That's going to be a starting point that's going to give you the building blocks to understand what's happened in your relationship, what needs to change, and how to do it. Now, if you already have that system, and you still are saying, you know what, I'm still struggling, I need some more help, I have a virtual coaching program. Now, the virtual coaching program is the only way, about the only way, that you can get direct access to me, and it's certainly the most economical way of doing that. In that program, I answer your questions every week in a conference call. Well, I say every week. Perhaps we'll skip a week between Christmas and New Year's, but basically, every week we have a conference call. In fact, every week since we started this, we've had a conference call. In that call, I give you a high-level training that you can't get anywhere else, and I answer your questions so you know what to do. This is laser coaching, where we're looking for action-oriented approaches. So you give me your background information, your specific questions, and I give you my answer on that conference call. If you're interested in that, just shoot me an email at lee@savethemarriage.com. That's lee@savethemarriage.com, and I'll let you know how you can sign up. Now, we do have limited spots for that, so let me know if you're interested, and we'll make sure that we still have spaces for that. Now, that gives you some ways of thinking through this process. If you've been wondering, can I save the relationship? Stop wondering and start acting. Decide that you're going to see the end result, not want somebody to predict the end result. Can I tell you with certainty that you can save your marriage? No. But I can tell you with certainty, if you do not begin to work on your marriage, what happens from there? This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your relationship.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.